I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time to visit the beauty shop, our first visit of the new year. That's where our panel of women commentators and journalists take a fresh cut on the week's hot topics. Sitting in the chairs for a new do this week are Kelly Goff, political correspondent for The Root, an online publication that features a variety of African-American voices. She also writes a column for The Daily Beast, with us from New York. Bridget Johnson is the Washington, D.C. editor for PJ Media. That's a conservative libertarian news and commentary site. She's here in Washington, D.C., along with Maria Teresa Kumar, who is the president and CEO of Voto Latino, a nonpartisan group that encourages Latinos to engage in civic life. And they're both here in Washington, D.C. Welcome to everybody. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
So let's start with Queen Bee, Beyoncé. She ended 2013 with a hit album and a controversy. And that's because of a new song, EXO, that starts with a sample, a very brief sample from the 1986 Challenger shuttle disaster. I'm just going to play it for you. It goes by really quickly, so you want to listen closely.
Flight controllers here looking very carefully at the situation. Obviously a major malfunction.
Your love is bright as ever, even in the shadows. Baby, kiss me.
Now, some relatives of the crew members who died in the explosion have criticized the song. On Tuesday, NASA's press secretary issued a statement that read in part, "The Challenger accident is an important part of our history, a tragic reminder that space exploration is risky and should never be trivialized," unquote. And Beyoncé released her own statement saying, "My heart goes out to the families of those lost in the Challenger disaster. The song EXO was recorded with the sincerest intention to help heal those who've lost loved ones and to remind us that unexpected things happen. So love and appreciate every minute you have with those who mean the most to you," unquote. So let's just hear from everybody on this. Bridget, what do you think about this?
Well, so I started thinking that the Challenger has been used before in a popular song. That was Garth Brooks' The Dance, the video for that. So I went back and I watched that last night and watched Beyoncé's video too. And so Garth began his song by saying, you know, look, people think this is a love song, but it's, you know, dedicated to the people who, you know, left us too early doing something that they love. It shows JFK, MLK, the Challenger people. So I don't think that Beyoncé's sample had the same memorial effect. To me, it just had more of a dramatic effect. And I go and I watch.
It doesn't show in the video. It's not depicted in the video.
She's happy. She's smiling. She's greeting her fans. You know, they're out on Coney Island playing amusements. So I can see why NASA came by and said this is trivialized. And I think that if she was doing it in tribute to the families, they certainly didn't know anything about it. So as an artist, yes, she has license to use whatever she wants, but it would have been the courteous thing to do.
Kelly, what do you think?
First.
Well, look, I know Beyoncé will go down in history as one of the greatest marketing gurus in the history of the world, right next to Madonna. But the thing that I give someone like Madonna and possibly even Miley Cyrus credit for is that they sort of own the fact that they do a lot of things just for attention, right? And to get as much attention as possible to convince you to buy their product. And the thing that sort of bothers me about Beyoncé is it's pretty clear that she's being disingenuous. I mean, I don't recall hearing the families asking her to help them heal. I don't think she did this to help them heal. I think she did it to get people like us talking about her, which we are, so good for her, and to sell as many albums as possible. And not necessarily anything wrong with that in capitalist America, but just own it. You know, Madonna used crosses and Like a Prayer to get us talking about Like a Prayer and to make that album a hit. So just own it. You know, my sort of issue with Beyoncé is this idea that she does everything to sort of be a role model or to make great art. And it's like, well, no, you want to be an iconic superstar who sells a lot of albums. Just own it. Don't save us the bull. Which is what I kind of think
that's
the defense of this was.
So what do you think, Maria Teresa? Yeah,
I think that the unfortunate part is that she did have an opportunity, as Bridget mentioned, to basically pay tribute to these families and to pay tribute to this tragedy. And I remember when the Challenger actually what happened. It was devastating to the world over and to our country. But what she fails to do in her statement is she never straightly apologizes for the hurt she had made caused. And if she had acknowledged that, I think that her fans right now, who are very angry at her fans would have actually been able to resolve that and say, okay, she made a mistake. Or, as Kelly's pointing out, is perhaps she's actually doing it to gain more publicity, but actually recognizing and connecting with that family, which she hasn't done.
See, I don't think she needs any more publicity, number one. Number two, she's from Houston, and she's mm-hmm. used sounds and images from the space program before in her work. I mean, she uses a kind of space, and going off into space is kind of an analogy for a number of things. I don't think she needs any more publicity. I do think that the kind of tricky and interesting question for me for a lot of these issues is that sampling has become so much a part of our lives. When is an image, you know, okay to use, and by whom, and for what? I mean, if you look at some of the you know, the Facebook posts we use. I remember getting, you know, there was a Facebook commentator we had on our site for a while who used those images from Abu Ghraib as his or her signature, right? Kind of, avatar, right? The people who were piled up on each other, you know, stark naked. It was a huge international sort of outcry. And I could never figure out, like, to address this poster and say, what are you trying to do? What is the point of this? What are you trying to say with this? Why are you using image, you know, in this way? Never got a straight answer. And
right.
So,
well, and I think that, but I think that's where she kind of dug herself in. She basically said that this was a tribute to people who have lost loved ones. But you never get that sense when you're seeing people walking around taking pictures of her, and she's basically enjoying the rides on Coney Island. So I think it's like Kelly said, it's disingenuous what she was trying to do.
Michelle, can I also throw something else out? Oh, sorry.
Well, I think we should move on just because I don't know that it's important. Okay. I just think it's something that we should. I mean, you know, it's like
the most important story of 2014. I'm being obviously
so far
disgusting.
On day two. Awesome.
Well, all right. So let's switch gears again. This is one of those sort of questions, you know, because we're always, I think, in our part of the business, kind of how much of the celebrity culture do we fight it, or do we embrace it? Do we acknowledge it? Do we discuss it? You know, there's always this kind of tension here, and I'm not. People might think I'm being disingenuous when I say that, but I'm not. I mean, it's one of those things that we constantly are debating for ourselves, and this is another story like that, because, you know, Miami Heat star Dwayne Wade is in the headlines because he's now engaged to girlfriend Gabrielle Union, but last week he acknowledged that he's fathered a son by another woman during a quote-unquote break in that relationship, and in a pregame press conference, Wade said that Gabrielle Union knows about the baby, and he said his new son is a blessing, and the story's been all over social media since it broke. I mean, a lot of people are very invested in this couple and their lives. I know, Kelly, what do you want to talk about? Kelly, why don't you start there, because...
Are you invested?
Why am I, like,
well, I was gonna say
stumbling
so
all over this? Like,
well,
what do you think?
Well, let me start
I mean, the reason I'm asking you, because you talk a lot about the kind of the nexus between politics and the culture, and how much of that, particularly when it affects people in particular groups who are often viewed a certain way.
Take it from there. I will say that, and I will totally take that bait, because that is exactly kind of the lens through which I was viewing the story. I have to start by saying I'm biased because I'm a big Gabby Union fan, and she's a lovely person. But I will say, Michelle, that of course, you know, one of my first thoughts was kind of, here we go again. How many times have I been on your show discussing a lot of the issues that plague our community and not in a good way, whether it's, you know, kids being born, you know, out of wedlock. But for me, the larger issue really is in terms of disease. You know, black men proportionally have the highest AIDS rates. And what was fascinating in terms of how the reaction of the story is, a lot of people on some of the black blogs, including Bossup, raise this issue of sort of, when are these athletes going to learn that they're having all of this sort of unprotected sex, you know, because you're an athlete and a lot of people want to have unprotected sex with you. And people are acting as though diseases aren't out there, that, you know, the possibility of becoming a surprise father isn't out there. And so that's a concern. The other thing I will say, and this is not to get into the whole shaming debate, but that, you know, the woman allegedly he fathered the child with has a number of children by wealthy men. And, you know, that's something I've also written about, is sort of this idea that in our culture we're perpetuating this notion that why get a college degree when you could sort of just sort of bypass all that and have a pretty luxe life by having kids with someone wealthy. So I think there's stuff to talk about here. You know, if we can get people talking about it by discussing celebrities, then so be it. You know, if that's the only way to do it.
Maria Teresa, what do you think?
Look, I think that, first of all, whatever happened between him and his fiance is incredibly, you know, it's private. But the fact that he owned up to the fact that he had a son and he embraced the son, when you have so many, and you often find oftentimes the politicians basically denying what they've done, denying their habits and everything. In this case, he manned up, he owned it. And yes, it's fodder for us to have a conversation today. But more importantly, I think he's setting an example, and he's promising to be a father to that child, and he's demonstrated with the way that he's actually raising his other children and a nephew. So in that case, I applaud that, because I think it's very, very difficult. I could only imagine what Gabrielle Union is going through right now, but it's very, very difficult to have those private conversations so publicly.
Bridget, what do you think?
Well, I mean, here's hoping that his responsibility with the children kind of washes over the obvious irresponsibility that he's showing, you know, in other regards. I mean, you know, they're on a break. He says he's dealing with injuries. Hey, here's my therapist, you know, and let's, you know. And it's so it was unfortunate what he did. You know, this is not you know, the Wilt Chamberlain NBA anymore. You need to, you know, not be
for people
a
who
player
don't know that
in that
reference,
regard.
Who don't notice that reference. You're dating yourself here. And we all know what
but
you're
we
talking
all know what
are you talking about here? Yeah. For those who aren't aware of what you're talking about.
What was his
about?
Number? Like 1,000 women that he claimed to have slept with? Or
He claimed 20,
20.
Actually. I
yeah,
read Vanity Fair. But
yeah.
People say that that's not humanly possible. So, you know, who knows the number?
You meant 20,000 is what
right,
you said.
Right, 20,000, yeah. Right.
I'm just like delving into LA Laker legends here. So
yeah. I don't know if it – I don't want to comment on whether I think it's even possible. I will say this about that. Can I just say add one thing about this is I was mentioning to – again, we were talking about this as a staff. I think a lot of people who are outside the world of celebrity would be surprised at how little celebrity one can have before one becomes bait to groupies of lots of genders, to be honest about it. I mean, it's not – just, I mean, I think the most common thing we are used to is the powerful man, woman scenario where, you know, woman who, you know, hitching her wagon to the powerful man. But I covered the state legislature in Maryland, a part-time state legislature in Maryland for a number of years. They meet like 12 weeks out of the year, and there were groupies there.
Yep.
And I just think that people would be surprised at how little power and celebrity one needs to have before one becomes attractive to people for reasons that other people are not aware of. So I just, it's not to excuse it, but simply to say that this is something that a lot of people are navigating in ways that I think people are shocked by, but really perhaps shouldn't be. And I wonder why this is not more of a part of the training and emotional training, just like these guys get trained in nutrition and muscle and physiology and all these other things and playmaking. I just sort of wonder why that kind of personal and emotional discipline is not more of a part of the training. I don't know.
Michelle, what's crazy is I actually read in the last piece I did on reproductive coercion that they actually have boot camps when you were a rookie in the NBA, and they train them on things like this. So I'm like, well, where's that training going then? Because, you know.
Again, that is too tempting. And I'm going to resist. I'm going to exercise my own discipline and not take the bait. And if you're just joining us, we're having our first visit of the new year to the beauty shop. With us are Kelly Goff of The Root, Maria Teresa Kumar of Voto Latino, and Bridget Johnson of PJ Media. So, you know, another topic I want to talk about, we're talking about people's families, tricky business, family life, and MSNBC host Melissa Harris-Perry found out the hard way. She did this Photos of the Year segment on her program and took a lot of heat for comments that she and her other guests made about a picture of the former presidential contender Mitt Romney's family photo of the year. And I'll just play a short clip.
This is the Romney family.
Yeah. Right.
And of course, there on Governor Romney's knee is his adopted grandson, who is an African-American, adopted African-American child, Kieran Romney. Any captions for this one?
One of these things is not one of these things.
Just using the same.
And that little baby, front and center, would be the one.
And the last voice you heard was from commentator Pia Glenn, and Melissa Harris-Perry and all of the people on the roundtable were thoroughly blasted for this by conservatives and some other journalists, and she later sent out a series of tweets apologizing for her remarks. But Bridget, I'm going to ask you about this. There's a lot of interesting stuff around here about things that people have said about things in other contexts that have kind of a racial overtone. How do you respond to this?
How in the world did that get out of the planning meeting
right.
for that show? I mean, it was a segment called Look Back on 2013 and Laugh. And so, you know, even if that somehow, you know, got through some producers, the host can put the brakes on it when it comes up and says, oh, wait, you know.
Tell us what's wrong with it, though. Because Dean Obadello, one of the other people on the show, said, look, I don't mean to be hurtful, but my comments were not about the baby. My comments about his comments were about, you know, this is the Republican Party's
GOP.
Idea of diversity. And this is really a commentary on the Republican Party and on his own kind of narrow worldview. So tell for people who don't agree with you, tell us what's wrong with it.
Yeah. And they said that the kid was a political prop. Well, Romney hasn't been in politics since 2012. You know, his daughter and son, you know, or son and daughter-in-law adopted this child. You know, 40% of kids now are adopted into interracial families. It's not, you know, some sort of unusual thing to be lifting up, but it is a thing of, hey, it's good that a child in need was brought into a home that can care very well for him. And why is it something to laugh at?
But Maria Teresa, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I agree.
Particularly, with your politicians are so it's so interesting how when kids are brought into the mix. I know there's some of the disgusting comments that a mm-hmm. particular conservative website that I'm thinking of made about the Obama children, which I will not repeat.
Right. Or McCain's adopted daughter.
Right. But so you mm-hmm. think kids should just be off limits, period, or what? Even if they're saying what they were really commenting on was the politics of the GOP.
I think that this unfortunately crossed a threshold, and it became personal in a way that it didn't have to be, because it was a beautiful photo. And again, any family that can provide a safe environment, hopefully, for a child, regardless of race, is loving. And I think, I'm a huge fan of Melissa Harris Perry. She's a colleague. And I think that this was just, unfortunately, something that was just wasn't done appropriately. And you all of a sudden went for the jugular when you went for a baby mm-hmm. in that case. And I think that those are things that are off limits. And I applaud the way that Michelle Obama and President Obama have really tried to shelter their daughters and have been very, very straightforward to the media by it. And when the case has been that those lines have been crossed, they've gone after them. And that should be the same thing with this case. It's like it's private.
Kelly, got a final thought from you?
Well, first of all, I want to give Melissa props for doing something that very few in the public eye do now, which is actually giving a real apology. I'm sorry you were hurt apology, not a Chris Brown, for whatever happened, apology. Right. So she deserves props for that. But I will say, I do think there's been a shift in the last couple of years, Michelle, in terms of rhetoric, where everyone feels as though, whether you're a blogger, a commentator, a host, you have to really flirt with the line in the hopes that your segment or your column will mm-hmm. go viral, will get picked up, will this or that. And every now and then you're going to cross the line. Mm-hmm. If that keeps becoming the standard, I think that's what happened here. I think the kids should be off limits, whether it's the NRA going after the Obama girls or whether it's Mitt Romney's grandkids. But I think that in the current culture where everyone's trying to get picked up on Twitter or on YouTube, people keep flirting with this line of what's good taste. This wasn't. She apologized, and I think that's a good thing.
Is it any putting the genie back in the bottle, Kelly? Just briefly, one word, yes or no. Putting the genie back in the bottle possible?
I think no until something terrible happens.
Let's hope not. Didn't mean to end it there on that kind
of
a harsh note. I meant to
send
it on a tough note. And looking ahead to 2014, Kelly Goff is a correspondent for The Root, a columnist for The Daily Beast, with us from our bureau in New York. Maria Teresa Kumar is the CEO and president of Voto Latino, a nonpartisan group that encourages civic engagement among Latinos here in Washington, D.C., along with Bridget Johnson, editor for PJ Media. Thank you all so much for joining us. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Michelle. Thanks for having us.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.